home.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is Word for Word for Wednesday, October the 12th, 2016. And today we are going to be covering Ele Debarim, which is the book of Deuteronomy. And we are going to be covering chapters 21 and 22. And Moshe is repeating all these laws for the new generation of Israelites' benefit, because the old generation had passed away out in the wilderness. So he is talking about, in the last chapter, the cities of refuge, and they're talking about one slain in the land here, so there's no blood guilt on the land, and the land is not polluted by murder, because Yahweh was going to be dwelling in their land. And he can't have that. So let's get into chapter 21 here of Deuteronomy, verse 1. If there is found one slain, 2491, in your land that Yahweh Eloheka gives you to possess, fallen in the field, and it is not known who smote him, then shall go forth your elders and your judges, and they shall measure 4058 to the cities that are around he that was slain. And it shall be the city closest, 7138, to the slain, that shall take the elders of the city a heifer, 5697, of the herd, 1241, that has not been worked, 5647, that has not drawn, 4900, in the yoke, 5923. Verse 4, and shall bring forth the elders of the city, the heifer, to an ever-flowing wadi, that's a river valley, that is neither tilled, 5647 again, worked, nor sown, 2232, sown with seeds, and shall break, 6202, the neck there of the heifer in the wadi. And verse 5, and shall come near the priests, the sons of Levi, for has chosen them Yahweh Eloheka to minister to him and to bless in the name of Yahweh and by their word every controversy, 7379, and every wound, 5061, shall be tried. Okay, they're going to bring it to the priests, because they're going to have to make that decision about where the guilt lies. And if there is guilt, they have to expiate that guilt. So that's the deal there. Verse 6, and all the elders of that city closest to the slain shall wash, 7, 3, 6, 4, their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the wadi. And they shall answer, 60:30, and say, our hands have not poured out, 82:10, this blood, neither have our eyes seen it, speaking of the blood of the man that was slain. Forgive, 3:7:2:2, that is kaper, that is to cover over the sin of the blood guilt. Forgive for your people Israel that you have redeemed, 6:2:9:9, O Yahweh, and do not blood guilt of the innocent in the midst of your people Israel. And forgiven them shall be the blood guilt. Now, it doesn't say place the blood guilt, but it is inferred. Do not place the blood guilt of the innocents in the midst of your people, Israel. Okay? I'll make a note of that. Verse 9, and so you shall remove, 1197, the blood guilt of the innocents from among you, because you shall do uprightly, 3477, in the eyes of Yahweh. Verse 10, when you go forth to war against your hated enemies, and has given them Yahweh Elohecha into your hand, and you have transported them, 7:6:17, into captivity, 7:6:28, and you see among the captives, 7:6:33, and it says a woman of beautiful appearance, but it has to be an Adamic woman of beautiful appearance. Because they wouldn't touch a non-Adamic woman. They had no dealings with them. They just shunned them. And you see among the captives an Adamic woman of beautiful, 3:3:0:3, appearance, 8:3:8:9, and become attached, 2:8:3:6, to her, and you would take her to wife. Okay, they would not marry a non-Adamic female. So that is precluded here. In verse 11, you can reference chapter 20, verse 14, and the chapter 20 notes that I have. So, verse 12, you shall bring her from among them, 8:4:3:2, to your house, and she shall shave, 15:48, her head, and attend to, 6:2:1:3, her fingernails. 6:8:5:6, will she shave her head as to remove hair as a source of impurity. That's a sign of impurity among the other nations. And she, 6:2:1:3, attend to, that's like to pare her fingernails. She cut her fingernails short. Verse 13, and she shall put aside, 5:4:9:3, the mantle, 8:0:7:1, of her captivity, 7:6:2:8, from upon her, and shall remain in your house, and bewail, 105:8, her father and her mother a month, 3391, of days, 3117. And after that you shall go in unto her and be her husband, 1166, and she shall be your wife. She's going to get new clothes, and she stays there, bewailing her parents and her relatives that she's not going to see again for a month. And then that man that took her goes into her and has her sexually, and she becomes his wife. That was the one they consummated by the act. That was marriage. They didn't have a big church ceremony. They didn't have a white dress. They didn't have a license. They didn't have all of that. He just took her in the house, and that was that. Verse 14, and it shall be, if you have no delight in her, 2654, then you shall let her go wherever she wills, but you shall not sell her at all. Now that's 4376 doubled for emphatic, for money, and you shall not treat her as a slave, and treat her as a slave is one word, 6014, because you have humbled her, 6031. You went in and you took her, and then you say, well, you're not really interesting, and you're no fun, and I don't want you. Whoa! that's low down. But that's the way they were. She was of a different people, and they didn't respect them. Verse 15, if a man has two wives, one loved and another hated, that means loved less, actually, not actually hated. Remember Leah? They said that Leah was hated. She wasn't hated. She, you know, all those kids he bore by her, he evidently didn't hate her too badly. she just wasn't the number one favorite. And they have borne him children, the loved and the hated. And the firstborn son is of her that was hated, 8146. Different word. It shall be in the day of the inheritance of his son, that it be he may not be able to make, 1069, the son of the beloved before the son of the hated as the firstborn. Okay, doesn't matter whether it was of his number one favorite honey. He was born first, and being righteous, because he was born first, he gets the birthright. And that's only justice. Even if he's not his favorite son by his favorite babe, he has that right because he was the firstborn. Fair is fair. And that's what Yahweh is all about, is justice. That's what these laws are about, is justice. Because the firstborn son of the hated he shall acknowledge, 5234, and give his portion, 6310, double, 8147, of all that he has found, 4672, because he is the beginning, 7225, of his manly vigor, 202, and that word is ono, and it is the right, 4941, of the firstborn. Verse 18. For it shall be, if a man has a son that is stubborn, 5637, and rebellious, 4784, and does not listen to the voice of his father and the voice of his mother, when they have chastened him, another 3, 2, 5, 6, that's yiseru. That's flogging. Okay, ow. They beat his little backside and he won't listen. He's a grown man now. Verse 19, then shall seize him, 86:10, tafesu, his father and his mother, and bring him forth to the elders of the city to the gate of his place, and shall say to the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, and does not listen to our voice, and is a worthless 2151 drunkard, 5433. Worthless is 2151, and that is Zolel. And drunkard, 5433, is Sobe, and literally means to drink largely, and drinks largely, okay? And is a worthless one that drinks largely. Well, this is pretty harsh here. Verse 21, and shall stone him, 7275, Rigamuhu, all the men of the city with stones, so he dies. So you shall remove wickedness from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. 3372. I bet that didn't happen very often because they taught the laws to the kids. And look, if you don't obey, this is what we're gonna do. You've seen men die by stoning. Well, that's what's gonna happen to you. You will obey us. Yes, Daddy. So, all Israel shall hear and fear. That covers that. Now, they might have done that. I don't know. I wasn't there in those times. But this is what this law says. Ouch. Wow. Verse 22. For if it be a man has sinned, 2399, and the judgment, 4941, is death, 4194, and he is put to death, 4191, and you hang him, 8518, on a tree, 6086, and hang him is talitha, and 6086 as a tree means a gallows pole. Verse 23, shall not remain all night, 3885, to remain all night. His dead body, 5038, upon the tree, but you shall surely bury, 6912 doubled, you shall surely bury him that day. Because he that is hanged, 8518, talui, is accursed, 7045, of Elohim. So that your land is not defiled, 2930, which Yahweh Eloheka gives you as an inheritance. You're not going to have this cursed person hanging overnight. And verse 23, you reference Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. So that's another set of laws. They were real serious with their laws back then. You had to walk straight and fly right, or you were going to get in real serious trouble, because they didn't wishy-washy around like we do today. If you killed somebody, you were going to be killed. If you raped a woman, and you were going to be killed, they were going to stone you. You molested a child, they'd just kill you. They didn't have these weak little laws that we've got now. If you robbed somebody, you had to pay back fourfold of what you robbed. And if you injured them, say you broke the guy's arm and cut him, they would break your arm and cut you exactly where you cut the guy. And you still had to pay back fourfold. I mean, crime was just not a good thing to do back then. And if we had a dose of that here today, man, would things be different. Believe me, they would totally be different. Let me get a hit of this nice hot coffee here. Oh, that's lovely. These women that were captured, that they kept in chapter 1, they were Adamic women. Non-Adamics were not taken captive, but they were commanded to be slain. They killed the women too, because the women, if they brought them in, would entice the men to follow pagan gods. And Yahweh knew this. And just go ahead, just kill them, because they're going to be more trouble than they're worth. You are not to marry a racial alien under pain of death. The stoning of the rebellious drunken son, this may be an allegorical rule and not literal as a moral example, but it was on the books. Remember, the guy hanged on the tree was cursed. Yeshua, Messiah, was hung on a tree. And his curse is our curse of death from sin. He took that curse for us. So that even amplifies more what he did for us. In Galatians 3:13, Yehuda Iscariot, and that, they call him Judas Iscariot. That means Yehuda, Judah, man of Kerioth. That's what it is. Ish is man. Kerioth is a city. He hung himself after the betrayal of Yeshua and died in his sins, cursed by Yahweh. And when they finally found him, they cut him down and he fell down and burst open because he'd been hanging too long. Ew. Well, let's get into chapter 22 here. This is more common sense and righteous action. Verse 1 of chapter 22, you shall not see your kinsman's ox or his sheep go astray and hide yourself from them. You're not just going to let it go. You shall surely return them to your kinsman. That's only right. That's common sense, right. Chapter 22, verses 1 through 4, you can reference Exodus 23, verses 4 and 5. And to hide yourself, 5956, is hitha alamata, as neglect to aid. That's another tongue twister. And if he is not a near kinsman to you, or if you do not know who he is, then you shall gather it to the midst of your household, and it shall be with you until that kinsman seeks after it, and you shall return it to him. In other words, if you don't know who it belongs to, you take it home and you feed it and let it be known that you have it, that you found it, and you're looking for the owner. And then you just give it to him. You don't charge him for the feed. You do him a kindness because he is your racial kinsman. Verse 3, in a like manner you shall do with his ass, and you shall do with his mantle, that's his covering, with the tzitzit and all that if he dropped it, and with all lost things, that's 9 in your Hebrew, concordance, Strong's number 9, all lost things of your kinsman, which he lost, and that is 6. And you have found, 4, 6, 7, 2, and you shall do likewise. You may not hide yourself. In other words, neglect to aid him. You're supposed to be a brother. Okay? Brotherhood. Racial kinsman. Brotherhood. That's how you're supposed to behave. We need a great big dose of that today. Verse 4. You shall not see your kinsman's ass or his ox fall down by the wayside and hide yourself from them. In other words, neglect to aid them. You shall surely raise them up, 6, 9, 6, 5, together, 5, 9, 6, 3. If they're wearing a or bearing a big burden and they get tired and they stumble or something, you go help that animal. You show kindness to your kinsman's animal. It extends to his possessions and his beasts of burden. And you just are just kind to the good work animals that work hard for you. You take care of them. It's just goodness. That's what Yahweh is teaching here, is goodness, being good to others. Here's verse 5. This pertains to today. A woman shall not wear garments, 3627, of a man, 1367. Neither shall a man put on, 3847, a woman's garment, 8071, because all that do so are abomination, 8441, to Yahweh Eloheka. These cross-dressers and transgenders and all this filth that we've got going on today is abomination to Yahweh. And he's going to take them out when Yahshua returns. They're going to die for what they're doing. Verse 6. If you come across, 7122, a bird's nest, 6833 and 7064. 6833 is bird and nest is 7064. Before you in the way, in any tree or on the ground, with young ones, 667, or eggs, 1,000, and the mother is laying upon the young or upon the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. But you shall surely let go, that's 7971, doubled, the mother, and take the young to you, that it may be well with you, and you may lengthen your days, 748. They take the young, they take them home, they feed them, and when they grew up and were eatable, they'd eat them. Verse 8, when you build a new house, you shall make a parapet, 4624, for your roof, so that you do not bring blood guilt upon your house if anyone falls from there. And a parapet is a low wall or railing, That's 4624. They had flat roofs. And they had little, they'd even put a little tent up on that roof because it was cool. And they'd sleep on the roof and eat on the roof. It was like another great big open room. That was their style of living back then. And it is that way in Israel right now, even with the Jews, the old houses have flat roofs. They don't have a peaked roof because they don't have enough rain to worry about it running off. They had a slight slope to the roof and it would run out the back and they had drain channels. Verse 9. Here's an important one. You shall not sow, 2232, your vineyard, 3754, with mixed seed, 3610, lest be made unholy, 6942, the harvest of your seed. The harvest is 3754, and seed is 2233, which you have sown, and the harvest of your vineyard. Now, verse 9, you can reference 9 through 11, actually. You can reference Leviticus 19, verse 19. And 9 specifically, you can reference Genesis 1, verses 11 and 12, where it speaks of after its species. You don't mix the species. Mixed seed is 3610, kilayim. You don't mix. This is going all the way back to Genesis. No mixing. Verse 10, same thing. You shall not plow, 2790, with an ox and an ass together. 3162, no mixing. Two oxen, two asses. No, not an ox and an ass. You don't mix your team. They will pull unequally. Verse 11, you shall not wear, 3827, mixed materials, 8162, sha'atanez, of wool, 6785, and linen, 6593, together. You shall not mix materials because they have different resonant frequencies, we found out now. Yahweh didn't explain this back then. Each material has a frequency, and when you mixed materials, they are at odds with one another, and it makes you ill. It's not good for you. Our bodies resonate. We have a frequency that we resonate at. This is fact. We found this out scientifically. Well, Yahweh was giving us preventative measures back then to not make ourselves sick, and that's what this is all about. Verse 12, tassels, 1434, gedilim, you shall make. This is a commandment, not a suggestion. Upon the four corners, four is 702 and corners is 3671, of your covering, 3682, with which you cover yourself, 3680. It's an outer garment or a mantle. The covering, 3682, is an outer garment or a mantle. Like the big prayer shawl or whatever, that's a normal garment. They would wear that as a covering to keep the sun and the wind and such off of them. there's a commandment earlier that you will wear a garment with four corners and have the tassels. And you have the thread of blue and the tassels. Well, I have shirts made out of t-shirts that are cut and sewn, and I have a tassel on each corner with a thread of blue woven in among the windings. You wind a tassel a certain way for the 12 tribes of Israel, and I have a thread of blue in that. That's tekelet. That's a commandment that we wear those. I wear one every day. It goes on over my t-shirt, and then I put a regular shirt on over that, but then I have everything tucked into my pants, but the tassels hang out. If you see me at Tabernacles or any of the feast days, you will notice that I have four tassels draped out of my pants, because there's a four-cornered garment in underneath that, in obedience to the commandment. Verse 13, if any man takes a wife and goes into her and hates her, in other words, he doesn't think she's particularly exciting or whatever, and charges 7760, wanton 5949, matters 1697 against her, and brings forth upon her a name that is evil, 7451, in other words, a bad name, and says, I took this woman, and when I approached her, in other words, when he consummated the act, I found no virginity, 1331. Well, here's verse 15, and there's going to need some explanation to this. Then shall take the father of the damsel, 5291, and her mother, and shall come forth with the virginity token, 1331, of the damsel to the elders of the city in the gate. All right, let's stop right here. Virginity token is also betule of 1330, which is virgin. And abstractly, the token is the bed sheet of the wedding night as 8071. Okay? This tradition, when you consummated your marriage, you folded up the bloody sheet and you presented it to the father of the bride and the mother of the bride to show that you were happy that their daughter was a virgin. And they put it in a little box and they kept that. All the way up in through the Middle Ages, the Israelite people did that in England and France. And Germany, that was a tradition we brought with us, and that was done even in America in the early days. The token of the virginity was presented to the parents. And people say, well, you people aren't Israel. Yes, we are. We have brought all these things with us when we went into dispersion and into Europe and then thence to America and all over. This was a tradition for a long time. I don't know anybody that does it today, but they used to do that. They kept that sheet just in case of something like this. Okay, let's go to verse 16. And shall say the father of the damsel to the elders, my daughter, 1323, I gave to this man as a wife, and he hates her. And behold, he places 7760 in effect 5949 words or matters 1697 against her, saying, I did not find in your daughter virginity, 1331, but this, 428, is the virginity token of my daughter, and they shall spread, 6566, the bed covering, 8071, before the elders of the city. Now here's what happens. Verse 18. And the elders of the city shall take the man and chastise him. That's 3256, as in verse 21:18. That is, give him a public flogging for lying about this daughter of Israel. They would put it on him. They beat him with rods. So he wasn't going to get off scot-free just saying, no, I don't like this babe. She's not exciting, and I'm going to say she wasn't a virgin. Here's more. 19. And they shall fine him, 6064, 100 shekels of silver, and give them to the father of the damsel, because the man has brought forth an evil name upon a virgin, 1330, of Israel. And she shall be his wife. He may, 3201, not, 3808, send her away, 7971, all his days. He can't divorce her. Imagine living in that household. Boy, I bet that's pleasant. Verse 20. Sorry, folks. She's going to make his life miserable. But if this thing is true, 571, and the tokens of virginity are not found for the damsel, verse 21, then they shall bring forth the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her with stones so that she dies, because she has done folly, 5039, in Israel, to act as a harlot, 2181, Lizinoff, in her father's house. So you shall remove, 1197, wickedness, 7451, from among you. They were serious about this. Now, 1197 remove is ubiarta, excuse me, to burn or consume utterly, used a lot with 7451. And 7451, wickedness, is raw, evil, wickedness, harm, calamity. Verse 22. If a man is found lying, 7901, with a woman married, 1166, to a husband, 1167, then they shall both, 8147, die, the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So you shall remove wickedness from Israel. In other words, if you got caught nailing another man's wife, they killed both of you. Verse 23, if a damsel, a virgin, is betrothed, 781, to a man, and another man finds her in the city and lies with her, Then you shall bring them both to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them with stones so that they die. The damsel, because she did not cry out, 6:8:17, in the city, and the man, because he has humbled, 6:0:3:1, another man's wife. Betrothal was considered the same legal status as married. So you shall remove wickedness from among you. In other words, she sort of liked the guy and she let him. Well, that got him killed. 25. But if a man finds a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man seizes her, 2:3:8:8, and lies with her, then only the man that lay with her shall die. Verse 26, but to the damsel you shall do nothing. In the damsel is no sin, 2:3:9:9, to death, 4:1:9:4, because as when a man rises up against another and murders him, 7:5:2:3, even so is this matter. In other words, 7:5:2:3 is ritsako. That means to have prior intent. Changing manslaughter into murder. It's prior intent. Because he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. 3:4:6:7. If a man finds a virgin damsel that is not betrothed, and seizes her, and lies with her, and they are found, in other words, somebody walks up on them, then that man that lay with her shall give to the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he has humbled her, and he shall not send her away all his days. No divorce, guy. You wanted her that bad, now you got her. Permanently. Uh-oh. Can you imagine if these things were enforced today? Just think on that. Think about these rules today. This whole chapter is about righteousness. You help your neighbor. Prohibits cross-dressing, which is an abomination full of sodomites and righteousness even toward birds and eggs and chicks. If you take a mother bird, you wipe out a breeder. Soon you won't have any birds. So you run the mother off, frighten her off, and then you take the young, and then you take them home and you feed them. If they're an edible bird, I mean, if they're like a crow or a starling or something like that, those aren't edible birds. But there were edible birds out there like ducks and geese and such. They'd run her off the nest and they'd take the eggs home, and if they were just eggs, they'd eat them. And if they were young ones, hatchlings, they'd raise them up and then eat them. Even a bird receives compassion from Yahweh. How much more so an Adam? You know, you got a safety rail on your flat roof so somebody doesn't fall off. Common sense and consideration for others. Verses 9 through 11, all the prohibitions against mixing of things. Which goes back to the first chapter of Genesis, verses 11 and 12. Verse 12 refers to the four-cornered garment, and that's in Numbers chapter 15, 37 through 41. This commandment still applies to Israel today. The Jews are wearing tassels, but they don't have the thread of blue. Most of them don't. A few do, but they wear them just to try to steal our birthright. It doesn't apply to them. None of these commandments were given to Jews. These are all commandments to Israel. Has a thing to do with all these laws about virgins. That bedsheet thing, the kings, the European kings, hung it out of the window of their palace for everybody to see, to show that she was a virgin. I mean, that's... That's not really appealing to a lot of folks, but it was a sign that the marriage was consummated and legal and binding. Morality was a major factor back then, but not now. Virgins are somewhat hard to find. There's still a few, but most of them, well... All this things about promiscuity and death by stoning. Imagine if we had that today, how much it would limit promiscuity, would just wipe it out. People be scared if you got caught with another guy's wife. They killed you. There wasn't any grace period, they stoned you to death. I mean, how much of an inhibiting factor is that? That's pretty scary, just to have some promiscuous sex. It could result in you being stoned to death. So, they weren't fooling around back then. They were real serious. These laws that Yahweh has given us for morality still stand, but we're just not enforcing them. That is our fault because we are under the Babylonian law of the Jew, and they have no morality. Morality does not exist for their kind, and they have corrupted our morality and has got us into sin. So brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, you need to think on this and compare these rules that were given to us back then with how things are today, and you see why we are in trouble, and you see why we are in the time of Jacob's trouble right now, preceding the great tribulation that we're going to be going into, and how much worse is it going to be during the actual tribulation period? It's going to be downright unpleasant for all. Your life will be in your own hands. It's going to be very dangerous. Morality is going to flee completely. Violence will abound. You need to prepare yourself, first of all, spiritually. Get right with Yahweh and start being obedient. Keep the feasts. I mean, we just finished the Feast of Tabernacles. The next feast days are in the spring. Okay? Plan on keeping them, please. We will announce them on Eurofolk Radio. They will be on the calendar, for the solar calendar that we publish. I'll announce them on my show. Eli will on his show. It's a joyous time. It's not a burden. It's not some place and we go on, we're all dour faced and just read dry scripture. We have a great time and we read the scripture and explain it, and everybody gets into it, and we eat. It's a feast, and everybody chips in and helps, and we have biblically correct food and lots of fun. A lot of places we go, you can fish. I mean, we just don't sit around and read the Bible all day. On the high holy days, pretty much we do. But even then, it's just great fellowship with your fellow Israelites. And you don't get together with them often enough. And we're all in the same spirit and the same mindset. And we're there to try to be pleasing to our Father Yahweh and be obedient to Him. And it just, it's amazing. You don't want to miss out. If you usually have a family vacation, plan your family vacation around one of the biblical feasts. Take that vacation and teach, bring your children. For heaven's sakes, bring your children and teach them about what Israel does and let them hear and see the blessings that Yahweh gives us and what we're supposed to do, the manner of behavior. What a great learning experience for your children. You have a friend that's right on the edge of Christian identity and he's leaning that way pretty heavy. Invite him and bring him or them. If you've been witnessing to them, bring them along. Let them come and see. Be a big decision maker for them. They will get to see what's what and what's not. And what a testimony that you can give. Well, I will say Shalom Aleichem, and I will catch you next time. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow on Thursday.